Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Sestrino, back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of December 22nd, 2020, here on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yeah, here we are back live Christmas week here on News AF. Of course, the three wise men are here to talk to you about everything that's happening of note in our world. And of course, let's bring in a man who's had what a 2020 it's been for pickleball's top influencer. Here is Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
I'm doing great. And I got news for you, dude. 2021 is going to be even better for the world's number one pickleball personality.
Yeah. Oh, pickleball personality too.
Yeah. I mean, influencer personality is
you've always hated the influencer term.
Yeah. And title. And now that I am one, I'm ashamed, but also like, what you going to do?
Yeah.
You know? So anyways, yeah, things are great. And we're gearing up for Christmas. I'm in the present room right now and there's presents everywhere. We got the door locked and we've been wrapping them. I built a dollhouse yesterday. Ooh. And so we're in full swing.
Okay. All right. Barricade the door. Make sure nobody,
it's locked. Always locked. I got the key in my pocket.
Okay. All right. Of course, a man who is back with us once again, and of course, a man of many talents, helicopter piloting, cycling, consuming mass quantities of Mountain Dew.
So much.
Jogging.
Here is
one of the world's top joggers.
Danny Bryson.
Yeah, just flew across the entire United States. So it's
in a helicopter, not in an airplane.
To New York, to Chicago, down to New Mexico, and then back up to Utah.
Did you puke this time?
No, I was very surprised. I had a container on hand for emergency puking, but I didn't have to call on it.
So. Are you a helicopter puker? What's going on?
Sometimes when I'm filming, and so I'm looking at the camera screen, and there's any kind of turbulence, it gets out of control. So,
whoa.
Yeah.
That's interesting because... have I ever been on a flight? I've never even been on a flight with you, I don't think.
No, you moved. It was cool. We flew across some interesting states that I'd never seen. We landed once and were surprised to find out we were in Connecticut. It was an adventure. Yeah.
Where did you think we were?
Rob, he's from the East, so he understands how tightly packed some of these states are. Mm-hmm. But being from the West, we were very surprised to find we were in certain states like Pennsylvania or Connecticut, or we were already in New York.
You see the lines when you cross them?
Yeah, so we're looking at a map as we're going. And plus, I'm looking at a map on my phone and a bunch of other stuff. So I'm watching, but we landed, we got a hotel, and the pilot of the helicopter was surprised to find out that he had landed in Connecticut. So
instead of where?
We thought we were in New York.
Okay.
Very interesting over there in the East.
Yeah.
Well, I don't spend a lot of time there, but.
Tell us why, please. Because Rob's from the East and we
am. Yeah, we're
very curious.
That's what I mean. You guys have so much stuff packed in. Like all of those, these historic cities are relatively close to each other.
Yeah.
Like when you're looking at, you're like, hey, we could fly to Boston, then down to New York. And you're like, they're all kind of like packed in the West. Everything's so far apart.
Imagine even people can drive to those they don't even have to buy a helicopter.
They can drive
from Boston to New York.
Yeah. And so I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah, so Danny coming in with some hot takes this week of talking about Boston and New York are not that far away from each other. Neither is Philadelphia.
I think this is going to rock some people's worlds.
It's not going to rock anybody's world except for the ignorant guy who's lived in the West for almost his whole life.
So you can drive to any of these cities in a couple hours.
You know that Philly, like driving from Philly to New York is what, like an hour and a half?
No, I didn't know that. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's usually a lot of traffic. I think you could do it in maybe 2 hours with no traffic.
Okay. You know, I did live in Long Island as a child for, I think, a year or two. Yeah. But obviously, I wasn't driving. I wasn't driving at the time, or taking trains. I just wasn't aware of how close these places were until I had to fly over them. I'm like, whoa, that's Boston out there. That's So anyway, just learning, you know, you're never too old to learn, I guess.
It's crazy, dude. I mean, you could have, if you just would have paid attention in elementary school, you would have already known so a lot of that stuff.
Or paid attention. My brother lived in New York and he talked about going places. I should have just been listening to him. Like, yeah, dude, it only takes 2 hours to get to DC or whatever.
And you're like, blah, full day drive. No, it's only that's all you heard when he said it's only 2 hours. You heard full day drive.
I'm like, oh yeah, dude, that's another place. That's got to be at least half a day of driving.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not
like
going
to go visit Tyson's 10 hours. And he's like one of the closest big cities to me. So
it's true.
Mm-hmm. Just spread out.
Okay.
Not really one of the, maybe you got Vegas.
No, yeah, that's true.
And then you've got a handful of cities that are Vegas about 10 hours drive.
5 hours away.
Yeah. Denver's eight.
Yeah. Denver's eight.
Phoenix is 10. LA is 9.
So big week of learning.
And Emmett from Boston is here. What up, boys? So now Danny knows all about Boston.
Yeah,
oh, and there was so much snow
in New York.
Every place we landed, we're like, do you guys normally get this much snow? Because they had that huge storm.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of blown away. Everybody had all the airports were closed.
Yeah.
You know, which
Danny and his friends are like aliens that sort of like arrived on the East Coast. And it's like, tell us about all of your snow. Tell us
about your culture. Yeah. We landed.
We're here to learn about your.
We landed on the Hudson on a heliport and we went into New York City to get into Manhattan to get pizza. Uh-huh. And we didn't see a single person. You know, we walked like 4 or 5 blocks and not a single person was on the streets because of the snow. It was wild.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see anyone at the heliport. Just some guy who didn't seem to care that we had landed there. Just watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a strange experience.
Yeah.
But
did
awesome.
Did the snow wreak any havoc on the helicopter or it already had snowed?
It took a little while for us to leave Montreal, but because of the snow. But once it stopped, it only wreaked havoc on everybody on the ground. We were fine.
Okay.
But yeah, cool.
All right.
So you were up above the clouds. How long did that full trip take just getting back
in
a helicopter?
I think Wednesday until Sunday.
And at what point were you like, I hate helicopters?
I love helicopters.
Wow.
And I love flying. And I actually had a helicopter lesson yesterday after getting home Sunday night. So I don't hate helicopters. It's just the wind all across America. It was like a 40 knot wind coming from the side. So we were flying the whole time across America, kind of sideways, kind of crabbing into the wind, which makes for an interesting thing because the direction you're going is out the left window, you know, but the helicopter's pointed a different way. It's an interesting experience, but that's how it was going all across America.
All right.
I do not like riding on helicopters.
I love it.
I'll get on a helicopter, but I know that it's not going to be comfortable and it's going to rattle me and it's going to make me sick, but it's not going to make me sick, puke sick. It's just going to make me feel blah for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about maybe some holiday stories to get us started. And actually, this is a little bit of a not such a great story for a paragliding Santa Claus. Now, you would say, well, why does Santa need to parasail and paraglide? Doesn't he have reindeer? Great question.
Don't they always paraglide into some of these little towns and like into sporting events and stuff? That's not an uncommon thing. Yeah.
Hmm.
Santa's got to practice. You know, like he can't take the reindeer out. It just costs too much.
Yeah.
So he's like, got to work on a cheaper platform so that when it does come Christmas time, his game's on point.
Okay. Well, that's what happened to a Sacramento Santa Claus in the city of Rio Linda, who went paragliding and then got trapped in a series of power lines, much to the horror of young children who asked questions like, Daddy, did he get electrocuted?
He was headed to drop candy to kids, it sounds like. So
no, a lot good of deed goes unpunished.
Yeah.
Whenever I read a story like this, I always wonder what power lines actually do, because you always imagine like power lines shooting volts of electricity if you get anywhere near them. Mm-hmm. And here a guy is crashing his ultralight or paraglider into power lines and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, because the power lines, I don't think are like bare. Like, yeah. Do you think if you just climbed up and touched a power line, it would just be like,
of course, that's what I think would happen.
Aren't they like dipped in something, and don't you have to touch like multiples at the same time?
I don't think it's like, aren't they designed to
short the second that it does something like that?
I've always pictured it to be exactly like the third rail. Like, not all of them, because there's so many, right? I don't know what a lot of those do, but I always imagine there's probably one or two, and he's touching all of them with his cords and his parachute. I mean, how is he not touching the one that I imagine to be the third rail?
Well, listen, dude, we've already taught you about the East Coast, and now we have to teach you about
because as far as I'm concerned, how electricity gets from point A to point B.
They don't design power lines to automatically just murder anybody who has an accident.
Well, I understand that, because the birds are on them all day long. Yeah, right?
The birds don't die.
Yeah. What if the birds are just aware of which one's fully charged because they have some kind of inner ear sense or something?
Or what if birds aren't real?
Oh, this is just a glitch in the matrix that they can land on the power lines.
Here, do you want to see a little bit of the paragliding Santa?
Yeah, maybe we'll see some sparks shoot, and that'll explain it.
I think it's going to be fine.
Let me see if I can share this video. This is from the local CBS.
Video shows the moment when a Santa Claus parasailer crashed into power lines in Rio, Linda. Tonight, that Santa is safe and back on the
ground. You don't want to slam your body into him.
Yeah.
Why? You made it sound like it's not a big deal, Tyson.
Well, I think there you have a greater risk of creating an arc if you slam your entire body across all of them. But I think the rope.
But what about that magical coating protecting everyone and everything from an electric shock on power lines?
Listen, you were talking there about are earlier. Definitely accidents on power lines sometimes. But okay. I think in general, when people engineer things like that, they have to take in account that a body
paragliders.
Yeah, all of it. Paragliders, if it breaks and falls, like there's.
Wait, hold on. Safety. So when they get come down from a storm and they're laying on the ground,
they're live. Sometimes they're live. Yeah,
they're live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Why can that shock you, but you can't get shocked when they're up in the air?
Well, because the cables are split and then I don't know, dude. Listen, I don't know all of it.
Could you research it in my small paper?
Think about this. When something is plugged in and you grab the wire, like you don't get an electric shock. But if you stick your tongue in the socket, you're going to get some sort of a shock, I would imagine.
Yeah, I remember that. You take gum wrapper, tin foil, and you turn it into a little fork, and then you put it in the socket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys ever did that, but
we did. And then it would short before it really send a shock up your arm a little bit, but you'd get a little spark going poof and you'd be fine. We used to, and I'm not proud of this, and I don't think that kids at home should try this, but we used to take foil gum wrappers, fold them up into a fork
That's
shape.
What I just said.
Jam them in, have the one friend kick them all the way in so they don't get electrocuted, and then short half of the school so that we didn't have to do any work for the rest of the day.
Wow.
We did that in homeroom. We also did the pass out game in homeroom.
What's the pass out game?
It's autoerotic asphyxiation.
Where you'd breathe really heavy in a crouch position and then stand up and choke yourself.
Wait, you would breathe really heavy.
I did that.
Danny invented that game.
No, I did not invent this. I was in junior high. Kids would do it in homeroom.
I don't even understand this. So you would be in a crouch position and like in a catcher squat and you breathe really hard and then stand up
and choke yourself.
I don't get it.
I didn't believe it worked either, Rob, right?
Okay, and then
this is not working. So I had seen a bunch of my friends do it, probably super dangerous.
Fully torqued at the end of it, or what was what was the point of it?
The point was just to pass out. I don't know why young boys do what they do, but I was breathing super heavy. I stood up, I did it. I didn't even want to pass out, and I passed out. And the last thing I said to my friends, don't touch me, because as I was going down, it looked like they were going to catch me, right?
Yeah.
And so they let me fall face first onto the carpeted floor, and my front teeth hurt for like 3 days.
Yeah. Could I do this to go to sleep at night?
No, it resulted in like a 24-hour headache.
Oh.
So I not recommend.
Dude, that was so awesome, I bet. Listen, the other thing you can do with the electrical outlets, because I really wasn't listening to Danny at all when he told us that, and then I just repeated it, but you can also do it with a paperclip, and then the paperclip fuses into the outlet, so every time they flip the breaker, it shorts again. And that was Pleasant Grove Junior High School in Utah. I think I'm past the statute of limitations.
So now, I kind of understand, Tyson, where you're getting this idea that electricity can't hurt anyone, and flying a paraglider into power lines is no big deal. Sounds like you've played with electricity and you haven't been burned yet. So you're like, yeah. Oh, it's no big deal. It's
Listen,
just something
dude,
you play with.
When you would set the paperclip perfectly in the mouth of the outlet and then have somebody kick it in with their shoe, it was like a firework blast before the whole school went dark. So it's pretty cool.
All right.
Well, I never want to fly into power lines. I can't imagine anything good coming.
Dude, we're learning way more stuff. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Nick Fleece in the comments said his friends and himself used to punch each other in the armpits because someone told them it could make them poop their pants.
It is like junior high boys are they're just the most violent possible ways.
I'd be like, slug me if you could. Let's see.
Let's try it.
But we don't know. Do we know? Nick, did you ever poop your pants from it, or did anyone else ever poop their pants from it? It never worked, he said.
Yeah, I wouldn't see how.
if something hurts enough, you might release your bowels.
Yeah, I guess if you really had to go, maybe it might distract you.
Yeah, that's what my thinking too. It probably worked once on one guy, and he was just like, "It's science. I proved it." And they hadn't done enough. It's like cold fusion, where we've never been able to recreate whatever.
Is that a kid already pooped his pants and then said like, "Hey, try this cool trick." And then it's like, "Well, it wasn't my fault."
Somebody punched me in the armpit and I pooped my pants, and they're like, "Oh, that's what happened."
Yes,
I think Rob's. Yeah. Nailed that. He's nailed it. That's crime. Exactly what it was.
Yeah. So, all right. Speaking of going from exploding power lines to exploding sauce, Tyson, do you ever get the Chick-fil-A?
I've had Chick-fil-A, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever had the Polynesian sauce?
No. Is it just soy?
I don't know
soy
what
sauce
it is.
Kind of.
I don't know.
Soy sauce probably.
I don't know if it's like the Szechuan sauce, but the pilot, and this is, I talked about food and I didn't know what something is. Now, RIP my mentions of people explaining what Polynesian sauce is to me. That's not important to this story right now.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Chick-fil-A apparently has a Polynesian sauce, and some Chick-fil-A customers are saying that there is a unexpected side effect of having the Polynesian sauce. It apparently spontaneously combusts.
Whoa. Spontaneous combustion is real.
Mm-hmm.
It is real, but there has to be
a cigarette
fuel.
And a sleeping person.
Yes, a sleeping person. Or...
Yeah.
Or a bunch of paint rags jammed into a plastic bag.
Yes. The sauces seem to randomly explode and pop open.
That's exciting. That's kind of nice. It's like you buy it, you get to be a little exciting all day long, walking with that in your pocket, never knowing.
Yeah.
Will it explode? Will it not explode?
And can you time it perfectly with the pass out game, passing out and having it explode at the same time to just be like the perfect.
Here's a question. Storm. When will this become some harmful TikTok trend or something, like tape Polynesian packets to your eyes and then just spend all day with the tape
turns,
so they explode.
Take turns being like one, like Russian roulette.
Oh,
with
yeah,
the sauce.
Yeah, exactly. Take it, hand it to your friend. He puts it against his eye. Take it, hand it back, puts it against his eye. The sauce.
It would work eventually, I think.
Yeah, it would.
Mm-hmm. They said that keeping it in the refrigerator seems to have an effect of reducing the explosions.
Yeah, because then it's not, it's the opposite of expanding. Mm-hmm. But when you have it in the warm and the heat, yeah, it's probably just pressurized, and they pressurized them wrong. So with a little bit of added heat or warmth, it just pops open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
When you say explode, I feel like that might be too big of a word, you know, because an explosion sounds awesome. Like it's blowing out the side of their carryout bag.
Yeah.
I think it's probably like opens a little bit and just spurts a little Polynesian sauce. There's a big difference between opens and spills and explodes. I didn't think that explosion is an exaggeration.
Yeah, no, but I think it's like a slight explosion where it really, this is the sound it makes. And it like a little bit comes out.
That's not an explosion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Michael Bay would not be impressed.
Oh, he would be.
He would be because it's not CGI. It's real.
Chick-fil-A. Like, get his Polynesian sauce.
You can actually talk about that joke before the show, or did you just come up with that, Rob?
Of course, Rob came up with that, dude. He's like a giant computer cranking out puns all day.
he really is, dude. We should create a pun computer, or have MIT create a pun computer and have Rob as the human versus the machine, and see if we can get this Paul Bunyan or whoever who was battling the machine in the digging a hole through the mountain.
Not Paul Bunyan.
That's not the story of Paul Bunyan when he was trying to chop faster than a axe wielding robot.
I think maybe it is.
It's not. It's not Paul Bunyan.
Mm. Ken Jennings.
Well, it's Ken Jennings. Whatever it is,
yeah. I think we have competed against computers in chess.
Gary, yeah, I know your name.
But in creating a pun, so like somebody's just there and like comes up with a saying, and then whoever can come up with a pun, a clever pun first, it gets.
Rob would win because I don't think that I don't know if a
you don't computer think the Microsoft be... computer that was like immediately came up with the worst words in the world.
I remember Tay.
I think that trying to teach computers to be funny, I think, is like the final frontier. Like, I think you could teach them knowledge and the human genome and all this stuff, but I feel like that to make a joke might be like the last step to try to overcome.
Maybe we just feed a computer every episode of News AF to give it a sense of humor.
That's a good idea.
Teach it everything.
Pro robot.
But what if there's a chance the robot doesn't think it's funny?
Or, it takes it all the wrong way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is boring and not funny. I have contacted my alien friends. We are about to destroy them.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
By the way, Rob, I'll probably have Chick-fil-A in the next couple of days. I'll get some Polynesian sauce. I'll
try it out. It seems like, is it Hawaiian?
Could be. Yeah, and then it's like a teriyaki soy-based type deliciousness.
Some pineapple in there also.
Dude, that would be good. Yeah, that would be really good. I'd eat that.
Explosive combination. Yeah. Okay. Do you remember Martin Shkreli, Tyson?
Oh, I try not to. Yeah.
Tyson likes Wu-Tang. So
I like Wu-Tang.
In the early days of this podcast, I feel like we used to talk about him a lot. He had a lot going on. He was the pharma bro. He was like jacking up the cost of insulin.
Yeah. He bought the Wu-Tang album.
A drug that people needed to stay alive.
Yeah. And then he bought the only copy of the Wu-Tang. And then he used to be on, what was it that Tyson was Blab that we used to be on? And then he was also on Blab, and he would be on there for like 9 hours a day.
Just blabbing away.
Flapping
his lips.
Then he went to jail. And then he's out of jail. And
we talked to you about him just a couple of weeks ago when he tried to get onto a podcast. Remember? He was phoning in.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, is he still in jail?
Yeah. He's still in jail.
Okay. He's still in jail.
Yeah.
Okay. So there is a story that came out this week about there was a woman who is she like left a very like promising career. And she's a journalist, and she apparently fell like madly in love with Martin Shkreli and quit her job and left her husband and started freezing her eggs for Martin Shkreli.
Yeah, and guess what?
Fake.
And he had to ghost her.
Yeah, he had to send his lawyer to break up with her, which is a great idea. Like, dude, have your lawyer break up with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
Wait, so were they in a relationship, Martin Scorsese and this lady?
It sounded to me like they were in a relationship, and then he basically said, if you publish a story, I'm going to be super mad. And so, of course, she published the story.
Yeah.
And he sent his lawyer to break up and ghosted her, which is way easy to do from jail, I'm sure. Like, ghosting people.
It is, but then when you get out of jail, you got to watch your back at all times, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she said she's going to be waiting for him when he gets out. So whatever he did not work in terms of breaking it up.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. She had tweeted about this. Her name is Christy Smith. I believe it's S-M-Y-T-H-E, but it's Christy Smith. I knew a Christy Smith one time.
It's not Christy Smythe.
Is it Christy Smythe?
By the way, I have a theory. I'm sure I'm not the only one who believes that she claimed to have a relationship just to get more attention for her article that just came out.
You think so?
Yeah.
She tweeted, I realize it's hard for many people to accept that one, Martin is not a psychopath, and two, a woman can choose to do something with her life which does not affect you that you in no way approve of, but that's okay.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it was a ploy to drive traffic to our article.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I mean, she's makes some good points, but on the other hand, she's ruined her life for Martin Scorsese.
She's a huge Wu-Tang fan. She just wants to get she in and listen album? To it. She's like, I just want to listen to that album he bought.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm looking at photos of Scorsese, and I have to say, I'm not in love with him.
Yeah, but Tyson, you haven't talked to him through the use of a prison phone and been able to build that relationship. Like, there's probably a lot more to him than just the outside.
I doubt it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so we'll see if these star-crossed lovers could come back together. But why? What's wrong with her that Martin Scorsese is ghosting her?
Ghosting her. Sounds like a woman who's like, yeah. I'm freezing my eggs. That's a... That seems intense. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how long they've known each other. I don't know where the relationship's gone. Maybe they're not as serious. She thinks it's more serious than he does. And when she's like, I'm freezing my eggs for you. He was like, oh, no.
Yeah. You know,
hey, lawyer. Go bring up with her. I don't want to get clawed in the face.
Could easily be.
Does Martin Scorsese have a lot of other prospects?
No. I mean, in prison probably, but yeah, outside. No, I doubt it.
Oh, I bet you he's got women lining up.
You think so?
Now he's got a rap sheet. Some women love that. It's an aphrodisiac. Yeah,
it's like a moth to a flame of like that. Because this woman is, you know, really has, you know, seems like gone above and beyond here. That I wonder if maybe other women are saying like, there must be something about him.
Yeah.
This is and curious.
Exactly.
Hmm. Okay.
Could be. And, you know, women do love a bad boy.
He is a bad boy, Martin Scorsese. So
you said it differently than I did. I said like a bad boy and you said he's a bad boy.
Yeah, he is. I mean, nobody is, you know, more disputing. Of a villain than him.
Yeah. Nobody's disputing whether he's a bad boy or a bad boy.
Yeah. All right. Well. Let's talk about another bad boy who got in some trouble with his parents. There was a
Danny,
young man.
Is it Danny?
I don't think this was Danny. This doesn't seem like something that Danny would do. Okay. There's a man named David Working. He's 42 and he sued his parents, Beth and Paul, after they threw out a bunch of stuff from his home in Grand Haven, Michigan.
We talked about this story, by the way. Do you guys remember this?
Yes. Yeah. I get confused between this is the story of the parents that like made their kid move out, or if this is the same person or this is different.
Oh, I thought it was the same.
Yeah.
Well, I think that kid was like 30. So this sounds like a little bit older.
I feel like that was like, oh, yeah, he's a millennial and his parents are trying to make him get out.
When you said this guy's 42 and I had accused Danny earlier, I was like, it is Danny because Danny is also... Yeah. 42.
Danny, so, is David Working your secret identity?
My secret identity is to be David working 42 with 2,000 porn tapes. That's my secret identity.
Well, it's that's like what happened to David working.
What are you hiding that you're masking your identity behind 2,000 porn tapes?
Yes, David. It's not, guys, I didn't watch the tapes, okay? I was holding them as an investment. They're worth $25,000.
Yeah, David working had a treasure trove of pornography and array of sex toys at his parents' home, and his parents threw them out, to which he sued them. And now these parents must pay damages to their son for an amount which is yet to be determined. But Working has valued the collection at $25,000 and is demanding triple that amount as punishment for wanton destruction of property. Let me come in. Look, I'm no pornography appraiser, but let me just say,
a pornographer,
the market for used pornography and sex toys, I think, is you know, when they say about a car, once you take it off the lot, it loses 20% of its value. I'm pretty sure with the sex toy, I believe it's 99.9% of the value once you take it off the lot.
Gone.
Yeah.
Well, Rob, you also forgot to say that he's also wants his tambourine in black comforter. So the value of that tambourine could be the majority of that 25.
You think it's a Stradivarius tambourine?
Real quick tip for a man with a pornography and sex toy collection: black comforter, not the way to go, my friend. Okay.
By the way, I'm trying
you
to find
off white.
Is there a picture of him?
Dingy gray.
Oh, here's a list of the movies he's requesting.
Okay.
They're No Motive, Midnight. Young Nurses
Midnight.
Young Nurses in Lust. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's a good one that Tyson would probably like. Peeping Tom. Fashionistas, disc 1-3.
Yeah. All right, well, these sound pretty benign.
Country Girls in Heat.
Yeah.
Cafe Flash.
Mm-hmm. Dude. This is a great article the news source nation.lk. I've never seen that that domain extension of .lk. But there is a lot of email correspondence between the parents and David working. Do you want to role play this, Danny?
I'm sorry. I'm still reading the list of things he claims they got rid of.
So there's our emails back and forth between dad and son. So that David wrote to his father. There's plenty of porn on the internet. If you want to watch that, Dad, try YouPorn or X-Hamster. Believe me, I know you need it with mom around. I need it with Mary around.
Whoa.
Yeah.
X-Hamster. That doesn't sound good.
Yeah. Dad wrote back to David. I find your whole attitude towards women to be very disturbing. You are almost 40 years old. How has your life worked out for you so far? Maybe now is a good time to change your goals and how you live. I
think at 42, it's way past the time to change your goals and stuff. Like, if you're set on the path of like just amassing a pornography collection, I feel like that's quite a hard turn to like deviate from that.
Mm-hmm. Well, dude, Fashionistas disc 1-3, that could be a collector's item. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of money in that.
Yeah.
It's a limited release.
Does he have any of the log jammins?
I bet you he does. I'm only looking at a very short list. There's lots to go through. Oh man, I feel bad for the parents.
The parents admitted to destroying some of the pornography collection. They kept some other DVDs in a safety deposit box in case what they were doing
the really was good illegal stuff.
So Tyson, what's
how
that
do
like
the parents
when you go to the bank and ask to get to the safety deposit box to
I haven't even gotten that far. What I'm thinking is, how are the parents knowing like what's valuable and what should be in a safety deposit box when they're like, oh yeah, look at that. That's definitely, we got to put that one in a safety deposit box. And yeah, I don't know where you look for that stuff. Is it on the dark web, or is there just like a blue book for pornography or something like that? I don't know.
Hmm.
So, or do they just do all the ones that were signed?
Yeah.
There's a lot to it. And then you go to the safety deposit box and then you have the security guy go in there with you and you're like, please avert your eyes and don't tell anyone. If you see anything, pop it open. So, yeah.
Nobody wins in this, well, it sounds like he won at least some of the value of his collection back, but my goodness.
Adam Cass says Ron Jeremy titles have gone up in value and that actually
gone down in value. I'm sorry to
say. He's been accused of several crimes. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty sure that, I think that those titles have only diminished their value. So
he's airbrushed out of all of those titles.
Yeah. It's a lot of airbrushing. So yeah. We'll keep you posted on any updates to the saga of, David working versus, his porn hating parents.
Hopefully this will go to Judge Judy. I feel like she could do a great job.
Yeah.
Educating
paid this. $85 billion dollars just to do this one episode.
Her reading out the list of movies.
Yeah. I mean, well, I just can't get over that he emailed his dad. Believe me, I know you need it with mom around. Like, I think he's trying to like sympathize with the dad. Like, hey, dad,
that's the kind of thing you say to your parents when you're putting things into light sockets and choking yourself out. You know what I mean? That's like not a 40-year-old thing to say. he needs to grow up. He's locked in at like
dad did 13, not take 15. The bait. Yeah.
Yeah. There are some folks at home, Danny, who would love a holiday edition, a special holiday edition where Danny reads all of the titles of the porn collection.
Yeah. They are so bad that I went to the list that they had published. I could not say some of those things out loud on a recorded format.
Okay. Well, how about this, Danny? Could you tweak them to be News AF related titles?
I wouldn't even know how, and I consider myself to be pretty good. Are you looking at the same list I'm looking at? Because it's pretty bad.
Let's see. Let's see what we can potentially do. Let's see.
I read the cleanest ones.
You did? Okay. You didn't read Miami Spice.
That's too. Right. Or New Barbarians 2, Looker 1 and 2, Pleasure, 1998.
The 1998 version. Okay.
They get kind of Abby Winters 4-pack disc 1 through 4. So that one's not bad.
My favorite series here might be Granny's Gone. Let's say Bolt Hole disc 1. He has the whole Bruce series. Disc 1, disc 2, disc 3, disc 4, disc 5, disc 6. He has a lot of like older women videos also.
Yeah, as trading cards and cryptocurrencies are where everybody's being priced out of those, I think people will start turning to pornographic DVDs as investments.
Yeah. All right. Last one on this one. We'll leave you with this.
Please, let's leave this guy in his terrible, filthy life behind. Item 1044,
Danny. Old grannies, young panties, 1. That's Dad, I'm suing you. Need that DVD back.
I like Cafe Flesh 3. I don't know what happened to 1 and 2, but he's held on to 3.
So listen to this. If DVDs are the investment, wouldn't the stronger investment be DVD players as those eventually become obsolete? Because then you can watch the DVDs. So maybe, and they're more universal because you can watch more than just pornographic DVDs on a DVD player.
Hmm.
That's just my thought.
Yeah. Yeah, that is very annoying. You ever get a DVD and it's like, well, where do I put this?
Yeah, what am I supposed to do with this, guys? Like, thank you.
I think I have a computer in the garage that I can plug this
into. I don't even have that. I have nothing that I can put a DVD into.
Yeah, no, it's very annoying to get anything with a DVD. All right, let's check back in with the news stories. All right, let me just real quick. I know we talked about a lot of pornography just there, but I guess good news for people following the pandemic that a Yale professor is saying that the coming decade is going to be a roaring 20s following with people partying and
hedonism.
Hedonism. Get ready for that, everybody.
Well, I mean, who's predicting this?
A Yale professor.
We've already seen it trending that way with Caligula and that Belgium thing. Yes.
And they're cracking down on orgies, and that's just going to make people want them more, you know?
I did see also that there's a new drug-resistant gonorrhea, so please be careful, everybody.
A super strain, huh?
Yeah, and there's no vaccine for that.
Should we write a movie about that? And it will be kind of like Bird Box, but with gonorrhea that's impervious to all medications.
Can you talk us through that, Bird Box, but with gonorrhea?
Yeah. So the scene opens at Caligula or something that, Caligula. And everybody's just like having a good time. And the very opening scene, two dudes high five and they're like, there's medicine for gonorrhea, ain't no thing. And then it just spirals out of control as it's just running rampant.
Car crashing into a stoplight, right?
Yeah.
You could naked just guy like, flying through the windshield.
accidentally touches skin on skin of a living person. They all of a sudden, full gonorrhea outbreak. They try medication. That doesn't help. The person applying the medication also gets it. Just blah, crazy.
Virgins huddling in a house with boarded up windows.
Yeah, hoping that nobody.
No sex mad gonorrhea carrying crazy person smashes through the window naked, wipes their body all over one of the virgins. They have to shoot the virgin in the head.
Oh, no.
For the greater good.
For the greater good.
Hornacek in the chat wanted to name it 28 gonorrheas later.
Okay. All right. Let's
that's the working title.
How about a palate cleanser here? Let's visit McDonald's China. They've got a brand new offering that they are releasing.
My God, dude.
Out of Asia, we get the latest McDonald's and greatest China trend. Yes.
When you said McDonald's China, I thought like a China set, like McDonald's new thing was they were going to some nice China that you could keep in your foyer or whatever you keep China at.
Yeah.
Your hutch.
Yeah.
So, go on with this story.
McDonald's China, they have announced that they are working on a brand new Oreo spam burger.
Dude,
I had doubts about this when I very first saw it. I felt Broga, the Broga spirit was strong. But I don't know. It's just look at the picture.
You look at the picture and you don't know if it's Oreo and you also don't know if it's spam. So it could be something else.
And is the sauce on there, Danny?
I think it's some Polynesian sauce.
Yeah, is it Polynesian?
Yeah.
So when I say Broga, I agreed with Tyson. I think it's someone looking at a sandwich and making assumptions. Like, we need a Chinese correspondent or someone who's there because it's a limited release product.
Yeah.
It just became available yesterday. So we need someone to take a picture of it and tell us exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Send us some Apple phones from China and then go to McDonald's and eat.
I mean, because that could be like a dog meat sandwich with bat anus.
So now you're spreading that, and now what saying, if that goes viral now from here is people are like, China has a new bat anus McDonald's sandwich.
What are the odds that they have spam? That's the thing, is I just don't see them having spam. Like,
why don't you think they have spam?
I never saw it. I lived over there collab, for a couple months. Bro. I gotta say, I never saw spam there.
I think that this is real.
You think with Oreos on it?
It's spam and Oreos. I'm arguing.
It looks legit. It's not coming from anything. Like, we've been doing this long enough where something comes from sort of like very sketchy news sites. I think we could say, I don't know if we can confirm this or not, but I think this looks legit. I saw many links to this.
Okay, links to this tweet or links to someone actually taking a picture of the ham or
so
the whatever you
call it. I can't read Chinese, but there are Chinese news articles that seem to be talking about this.
But have we seen a picture of the sandwich, not the ad, in any of those articles?
Yeah. I mean, the person that put this out is not like a jokester.
Look, I'm not saying he's being dishonest. I'm saying he just might have misinterpreted the sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm looking it up. I'm pictures. Let's see.
China's Oreo and Spam Burger. Danny, would you eat it?
I'd take a bite.
Two great flavors combined at once.
Okay, here's a picture of somebody
eating it.
Let's see. Oh my gosh, go away. The more things I have to agree to.
Mm-hmm. No, never.
It's like I've just given them access to my entire computer to read this article for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is someone holding the actual burger. And let me tell you, if you thought that first picture was appetizing, the second one is less so.
Mm-hmm.
It looks grim.
Yeah.
Looks like they've spread like asphalt over a pier. It does look like a Spam patty, but still, I don't know if it's name brand Spam.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a knockoff, a corporate stolen secret that, yeah, that reproduces Spam. And then I don't know what that sauce is, mayonnaise, butter,
yeah,
some combination of the two.
Do you think that, have we decided that it really is Oreos and Spam?
I think it is.
Weird.
Yeah.
Here's someone eating it. Got Oreo Spam Burger from McDonald's China. It's good, actually.
All right. Is all it right, dessert? Okay. Well, yeah.
I feel a little bit better about it. Spam Burger. Here's another guy. It looks gross, but tastes less so. And it tastes just like Spam and Oreos with buns. The pricing plays a popular pun as 13-14. And then it has to do with some kind of Mandarin pun. So that you would appreciate that. That's probably a good selling point for you, Rob.
Yeah.
They've got a price.
And it's a pun. And I'm probably the only one that gets it, being as I speak the most Mandarin out of us three.
All right. Danny, are you ready to take us to the bolt hole?
Yeah, journey. Let's take that journey together.
Yeah, get us there.
Okay, here we go. Here is Danny Bryson with your holiday bolt hole.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yes. And now here's Danny Bryson.
Hey, did you guys see the Christmas star? By the way,
I did not see it. My wife took the boys outside, like
the planets.
On. Yes, planets. This is where I'm going with this.
Did I miss it? Did I, was it only yesterday?
No, they're just
the last couple of days.
Yeah.
I did not realize that you can see those two planets. Tyson, what two are they? Jupiter and Saturn from that freaking far away. Like they're, I was kind of blown away that it was planets, two planets right there, just with the reflection of the sun.
Did it make you want to choke yourself out?
No, I thought it was actually pretty cool. Anyway, that's not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I know
this is not the bolt hole.
This is not the bolt hole. That was just an observation that I made. Okay. I looked up the distance to those planets, hundreds of millions of miles away, and I'm still able to see the sun reflecting off their surface.
Yeah, that really
super
is
super cool too.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, I'm talking about, I spoke about the effects of Coca-Cola, remember, or not Coca-Cola, but Coca and chocolate.
Yes.
Chocolate. Mm-hmm. Being able to sharpen your mental faculties.
Ah,
remember?
I was going to start eating chocolate, but then I forgot after you told us that. And that's like the cycle I'm on, is I'll never be able to do it because I'll always forget that I need to do it.
Cycle. Well, now someone's added to do a 1-2 punch. And I know that this was probably in the Facebook post, but Pepsi's going to release a Coca-Cola, Coca with C-O-C-O-A, Coca-Cola in the new year. So basically a hot chocolate marshmallow flavored Pepsi. So now you're getting caffeine. You're getting, I'm assuming the hot chocolate mental sharpness.
Yeah.
Mixed with the caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like superhuman drink for me. I don't prefer Pepsi. You know, I wish Mountain Dew would have come out with this first, but a soda that tastes like hot chocolate and marshmallow.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Count me in.
Danny he says he doesn't like Pepsi, but
I used to be a big Pepsi
first
guy.
Met him, he was all Pepsi all the time. Like if you went to his apartment,
my palate had
half drunk, drink half empty cans of Pepsi. Littering his apartment. Yeah. Literally every windowsill had a half empty
Pepsi. By the way, that's a testament to why Pepsi is so good, is that studies have shown that up front Pepsi tastes sweeter, but as a whole, you can't, it's hard to drink a whole can because then it becomes too sweet. Whereas
I bet I can do it.
You could, well, of course anyone could do it if they, but they found in the taste test, the reason it won was because up front it's sweeter, but in terms of drinking a whole can, it's sometimes too much. Whereas Coke is a better overall.
Do you think
mix.
That they tweaked it by taste test of like, oh, we're winning the taste test. All right, this is the formula, but ultimately. Yeah.
No, the thing I said, it said that the amounts in the taste test were so small that the Pepsi stood out. But when you come to drink a whole can, it can be a little.
Are they doing the recipe to win the taste test?
Yes, they are. So do you think that they should, for next taste test, they need to make them all drink 24 ounces of soda before they...
An entire can. Yeah, I think that is legit test right there.
2 liters.
The can test.
2 liters. You have to drink 2 liters of this soda and then drink 2 liters of this soda and then tell us which of the two is better. Mm.
Water then keeps winning the taste one test. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. That would be fantastic.
Okay. So Danny is on board for Coca-Cola. When can we expect that to hit market?
Yeah. This is the thing.
Canadian market only.
You would have thought that this would be a product they would release in December, right? I mean, that would just make sense. Pre-Christmas, of course. Yeah.
Well, they already have their cinnamon beverages
2021.
Out.
So they're asking to get 2021 RTs and they'll make a batch. It's like they're holding us all hostage. Like, just make this stuff and let us have it. Don't do some limited release to some corner of the world like Hong Kong. Nobody can get any. That it's like, put it right here at my local store so I can try it.
Yeah.
Sometimes these releases are so stupid. Like this Oreo Spam sandwich. Why? It's not fair that it's just being released in some remote part of China. Why can't we all have a Spam and Oreo sandwich?
Tourism. Yeah.
Well, oh, yeah. To get the Ormond Spam fans out there.
I already booked my helicopter traffic coming in.
Booked my flights out there already.
I just kind of get sick and tired of with these limited releases because it's like you had to be in a special area to get to taste this magical sandwich, some Franken sandwich that a company's put together. Look, I want to try this soda. I love soda. Yeah. I spent all of my teenage years drinking Pepsi, so I feel like they owe it to me to put it near my house so I can buy some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you invested in the company heavily.
Yeah, and they've got a distribution center nearby, so it shouldn't be that hard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, today is December 22nd, and it is a big national day.
For what?
It's National Date Nut Bread Day, celebrated by most Americans.
Date nut bread?
Yeah.
Wait, date, like bread made out of dates and nuts.
Dates and nuts, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a real bread?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
In Scotland, they have a bread. I've talked about it called Spotted Dick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dan used to buy it all the time until he realized it was a bread.
Very fruity. It's like this sounds more disgusting than that. Dates. Dates. Well, what else is in it? Just
nuts.
Dates and nuts.
Dates and nuts.
It's just bread. A sweet bread with nuts in it, dude.
You're gonna break a tooth.
Like a banana bread. Yeah.
Like a caramely bread. Banana bread. It's delicious. I bet it's delicious.
There you go. Hornacek in the chat wants to know a holiday tradition. Can we hear Danny's annual rant against Christmas?
I've already given my rant to so many people. Anyone who will listen.
We're listening.
So Liz hopefully won't listen to this podcast.
Did she listen to it often?
My biggest problem with Christmas is Christmas is supposed to be a season of like snow and Christmas lights and singing carols and drinking hot chocolate. Like, these are the things I like. I even like Christmas music, right?
And carols. So you like when carols
show up to your... I like carols. Like the whole like friendly festive spirit. Like, I wish that's all Christmas was. I wish that we didn't have this capitalistic madness, this materialism that then sucks all the joy, like a giant joy sucking black hole from Christmas. It's like, you have to get people the right stuff and you do all these things to like, oh, I have to buy Christmas presents for these other people. It's like, no, first of all, there's no quota on how many. I told my kids, this is probably terrible parenting. I said, you shouldn't expect anything. If you get one present, that's one present more than you should have expected, because nobody here owes you anything. There's no reason you should get a Christmas present. And there's definitely no reason that you should get the best Christmas present in the world. Because I felt like their expectations were building too high. And it's like,
bring them down.
You shouldn't expect anything. Nobody owes you a Christmas present. It's like, can't we just enjoy Christmas without obsessing over, you know, what we're getting people? Because I felt like the whole month, my wife was stressing over getting the people the right presents. And I'm like, they should, you know, they should just be glad they got something from you.
Yeah.
Like, if
that's
it's going to stress
sign
you the whole
month. Our Christmas cards of just be glad you got anything.
And if something is kind of ruining Christmas for you, then you should jettison it. You know, just get rid of it, because that's not the point of Christmas. And that's what every year for the last 13 years, I've had this argument with my wife over, like, get rid of it. If it's not working for you, if it's bringing Christmas should be a time of joy and happiness. And if it's kind of dragging you down, get rid of it, because it's obviously not in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're like the Marie Kondo of holiday.
Yeah. Thank you, Tyson.
Marie Kondo, Marie Kondo, what is it?
We knew what you were saying.
No, I'm saying that for the holiday version is Marie Kondo.
Marie Kondo, M-E-R-R-Y.
Marie is the woman.
Yeah, Mary.
Marie for holidays. Marie for the rest of the year. Yeah.
So anyways, Danny, I agree too. Rachel stresses out about so many things, and it's just like, it doesn't have to be this busy. Like, it should be nice and relaxing and kicking your feet up like I'm doing. Look at what I'm doing, Rachel.
Yeah.
Sitting here doing nothing and having fun doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like I always do. And it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, and then I'll be like, I offer to do things like, hey, let me do some of this for you. But then I'm labeled as like incapable of doing the right thing, you know? So it's like, I can't. There's no way to delegate because I'm such a slob, and because I don't care as much, right? Mm-hmm. About the whole getting everybody the exact thing they ask for, or else there's going to be some breakdown.
Yeah.
Because I don't care as much, I can't be trusted with gift buying, which is great for me because, again, it makes my Christmas awesome because I don't have to stress about anything. But then I have to listen to someone who is stressing for an entire month. And it's like, that's not what Christmas is about.
Yeah. Not the Christmas spirit.
No, the Christmas spirit is gone. It's like we've all been tricked by all of these companies and commercials that we have to give every kid everything they've asked for, or else the end of the world will be here.
Mm-hmm. I know if Danny doesn't get a helicopter for Christmas, he's going to be pissed.
You know, I'm going to scream. I'm going to smash all the nice toys I did get.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
By the way, I was the worst person to give gifts to as a child, because even if it was exactly what I asked for, I showed no emotion. So it was hard to tell, I think, for my parents if they had gotten me the right thing.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, thanks.
That's how I was.
It's so disappointing. So disappointing.
I still do that. And I try not to, but I can't. I'm just like, yeah, thank you. That's great. And then
the only good thing, by the way, and I built this, I got Liz to agree to this early on in a marriage. No presents. We never do presents for birthdays, Valentine's,
nothing,
Christmas, nothing,
not a keychain, nothing,
nothing. And so that actually has worked out great. Now, if I could just agree to get my kids in on that deal, Christmas would be a lot better.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just keep your money, kids. Don't spend it on me, and I'll keep my money. And that's a fair trade. Is that what you're going to propose to them?
Or like, I'm putting all of your Christmas present money that you would have gone towards toys into a fund. So an educational fund. Mm. So you can get an education. You're welcome.
We have to get Bergen and Marlo the exact same things all across the board
because
they hate to share and they just fight.
And what a waste to get two of the same thing.
Such a waste. So much garbage. It's just garbage changing, crossing state lines. That's all it is. It's like, hey, you bring some garbage over here and put it in my house. Yeah. My kid might play with it.
We've talked about this for years of that. Really what it should be is just should be a service. Like, take the toys from your house, bring them to my house. I mean, COVID complicates
that. That's right. We talked about that last year.
Yes.
I think that's a great idea, Rob.
Yeah.
A 365-day toy swap.
Yeah. You put the toy companies out of business tomorrow.
Yeah. We have probably 8 tons of toys that all cost under $20 a piece. Mm-hmm. And we can ship them immediately. I'll pay any amount of shipping to send those, all that entire yeah. room of toys.
To a lot of us have landfills in our house that we just haven't quite given the title landfill. Like I have got a miniature landfill just outside this room.
Yeah.
It's just filling up with toys.
Cheap toys. My older son has said that the thing he really wants for Christmas is the Lego Death Star. You can Google that if you're at home.
$700.
Yeah, I believe it costs $700 and is also discontinued. And
did you get it?
I tried to tell him. I said, "Yeah, Dominic, I don't think they make that anymore." He said, "Yeah, but Santa does."
That's when you say,
"Well, sometimes maybe not. I don't know."
Yeah, Santa only made one, and it's for the president of the United States. Sorry,
I don't know. I don't know if they still know how to do that one.
Yeah, they got new elves.
Hmm. Yeah,
doesn't build that one.
There you go.
Fortunately for us, like we, for some reason, Bergen always has it in her mind that she only gets one present. So she only is just like, just want one thing. This is the one thing I want. And we're like, you can ask for more stuff if you want. She's like, just one. I just want keep a squishy. Like
do yourself a favor.
I just want a squishy Elsa toy. And I was like, I'm certain they don't make exactly what you're envisioning here. And part of it is that my kids never see television commercials, so they're not sold on the latest and greatest new toy of the season, which we've had to start like turning on shows with commercials, live TV, just to be like, watch these commercials in between the show and get an idea for things you may want for Christmas, because they just make up a toy in their head and ask for it. And I'm like, I mean, I could learn how to make toys and get you this rubbery, squishy Elsa that you have envisioned. But
that's nice.
Yeah, right. But it will be life-sized and kept in my room.
All right. Danny, what's coming up?
Well, I mean, always cool stuff, but I just want to say that I do like Christmas. Okay, some people think I'm the Grinch. Some people think I'm a little down on holidays. But I do like Christmas. And Christmas is coming up. And I like the lights. I like the songs. I like the snow. I do like Christmas. So just let that be known.
Yes. Okay. Well, good to know.
So Christmas is coming up, Rob, to go back to what you asked.
Okay. All right. Tyson, how about you?
Yes. What do I have coming up?
Yeah.
Well, tomorrow we have a very special format of Rob versus Tyson where we will be scratching lotto scratchers live with our viewers and hopefully winning some big money. So that's coming up. I got to go to the grocery store. Tyson? What?
What's it at? The money.
The money? Well, it's different lottos. So the scratchers are different because they can be like a few hundred thousand to a million to whatever, you know. It's not the giant lotto because that's not a scratcher. That's just a number drawing. So we're going to be scratching off and hopefully I'll just win a few million dollars on stream. And anything over $100 that we win, 50% is going to charity.
Oh.
Yeah. So we'll be doing that. That's at twitch.tv/RobVSTyson. And you can subscribe there if you want to tune in. And it's all free to watch us win big money. And then Christmas and avoiding COVID at all costs so that we can go to Hawaii a week from today with the girls to see a volcano, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully not that close.
No, in a helicopter. Even though I hate helicopter rides, I will do it for my daughters.
Yes. All right.
Because that's an education, right? Seeing a volcano with your bare naked eyes is probably an education for children.
I saw lava when I was a kid in Hawaii. It's one of the few things I remember. Mm-hmm. All the love of my parents. Don't remember that, but I do remember putting a stick into lava.
Well, there's no way. There's no way you can get close enough to lava to put a stick in it.
Mm-hmm. I remember the fear of like, can we be walking out here, you know, on the just recently cooled lava to go.
Did you have a guide with you?
Oh yeah. There was a park ranger there kind of, he yelled at me for throwing pennies into the lava, which I thought was stupid. It's like back to where you came from.
Yeah.
You know, boom.
Yeah. But I've watched some YouTube videos about this, about like, why can't we just take all our garbage and throw it in a volcano? I thought that was a good idea. But I think that you don't want to do anything that's going to unsettle the lava. You don't want to throw things into the lava.
Can it be a remote? That actually is a great idea. Can it just be a remote volcano? Mm-hmm. You know, so nobody cares if it explodes.
Yeah, I don't think you want to like do anything to sort of like it's in its own sort of like stasis. You don't want to upset it.
Mm. All right.
It's a good idea, though. That's sort of outside the box thinking.
Yeah, it's the world's incinerator.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have going on, Rob?
Oh, well, we're going to be doing some more podcasting over here. I feel like that there was some podcast I was working on that I felt like I wanted to share, and I can't remember what it was. Oh, I'm going to talk about later on today. The Stand is back. Have either of you familiar with that?
Read the book.
The book, yeah.
Is it a Stephen King?
Stephen King. It was. I saw the miniseries in 1994. Really stuck with me for a long time. I read the book shortly after that. There's a new CBS All Access series about that, and the first episode is there. They cut it in a crazy way that it's very like disjointed, but I'm very excited. I'm going to talk about that later today with Jessica Lease over on Post Show Recaps. And then we are going to be having a pop culture breakout stars of 2020, Brant Steele, coming up as well. Any picks for a pop culture breakout star of 2020 that needs to be in our Brant Steele? Dan, do you know what that is, Brant Steele?
No.
Fake Survivor season. Yeah.
Okay, but who's on your list already?
Well, I don't want to reveal the whole list.
What about the that pickleball guy?
Tyson Apostle?
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
You probably should make the list.
Mm-hmm. Popular. Pony Lady. Somebody's saying Pony Lady.
Yeah.
Well, that would be Jelly Belly Self guy.
AF,
Joe Exotic, deal. For sure. Exotic. Carol Baskin.
Yeah.
So, okay. We'll be working. I get the kind of list you're going to be revealing.
Yeah, working on that, plus 90 Day Fiance. And we will have another edition of Ask Dr. Hubicki of the noted roboticist from the Survivor community. Kristen Hubicki is going to be answering listeners' questions about science and Survivor and beyond once again this week on the podcast. So a lot of big stuff going on Rob's podcast.
How often does that podcast happen?
It's only the second one we've ever done.
When was the first one?
It was Thanksgiving.
Okay, so once a month.
On holidays,
not even once a month, just special occasions.
Okay, and I can submit any science questions I have to him?
Yeah, any science question? Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Like, what is How this do I crash? Do that?
Yeah, we have a Google form. I tweeted it out. But you can also send questions in privately.
Just text them to you?
Yeah.
At what number?
I'll text you. Okay. All right.
6969 6969 6969.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here today on News AF. Next week, we will have our best of the year holiday special or end of year special.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Has somebody already been putting it together?
Cutting away. We'll be ready with our best of the year show next week on News AF. So no live News AF, and we'll be back on the first Tuesday in January. So until then, have a great holiday, a very happy new year, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.